Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest has been celebrated off-Broadway and all over San Francisco for many years. Winner of the Bay Area Critics Circle and Los Angeles Ovation Awards, the New York Times called her performance as Judy Garland in the off-Broadway camp musical Christmas with the Crawfords a subtle masterpiece. She was an actor at San Francisco's Magic Theater and Theater on the Square, has a master's degree from the American Conservatory Theater, ACT. She teaches at Open Voice Studios in San Francisco, and she's currently starring in Hedwig and the Angry Inch at the Boxcar Theater. On Sunday, July 28th, she's doing a one-night-only fundraiser for the theater called Behind the Wig. Connie Champagne, welcome back to Out in the Bay.
Thank you, Marilyn, for having me.
It's great to see you. Great to be here and with you, because we're going to listen to some of your music. Some of it you're going to... One of the songs we're going to play today in the show is something you're going to do at this July 28th show.
Extravaganza, yes.
Behind the Wig. And the rest of it, we're just going to play some stuff where you are actually verbally being Judy Garland leading into songs, and we'll get to that in just a second. In fact, let's just start with that now. I mean, I think it's one of the funniest tracks you have on your Imagine Judy Garland CD. You can find Connie at conniechampagne.com.
That's true. And also that the recording of that show, Imagine Judy Garland, was recorded live at the Plush Room, is available, I understand, on Amazon. And we'll have it also available for sale at the show if people want to. I can tell you, at the show, it's cheaper than it is on Amazon.
Plus, it's greener, right? You just pick it up.
Right.
You don't have to have trucks truck it in. But let's start with the track from that. This is Connie Champagne here on Out of the Bay as Judy Garland. This is Welcome to My Party, I've Got Your Number.
Oh, my. Well, I thank you so much. I'm so pleased you like the old songs. And ordinarily, you know, we'd stay all night and I'd sing them all. But tonight I thought we might do something a little different. I thought we might sing and play some songs that I never had the chance to record or sing on television. Well, how could I? Because many of these songs were written, well, after I'd, you know. You know that I have, you know, moved on, so to speak. I don't want to shock anybody. I mean, a two-drink minimum and an expired chanteuse, you know, a bit much. And that reminds me, you know, something that's always sort of bothered me is that, well, when people hear about Judy Garland on the bathroom floor, people just say, oh, yes, well, we saw that coming, you know. But when we talk about Elvis Presley dead on the bathroom floor, people say, well, my, that can't be. It's a hoax. I don't believe it. Why is it that nobody ever spots Judy Garland in line at the fried chicken stand is what I want to know. At any rate, I hope you enjoy these new songs that we've chosen. Welcome to my party. Welcome to my party, glad you stumbled in. Welcome to my party, baby, where's the ice? Who here's up for jazz and who here's new? Welcome to my party, who in hell invited you? You're here because you love me. And I thank you, yes, I thank you. I love you too. Lord knows the booze ain't cheap and the lowdown's low. Welcome to my party, hope you like my dress. Hope you're up for music, hope you're up for anything tonight. I've got your number.
That is Connie Champagne as Judy Garland here on Out in the Bay Radio. Connie's my guest here tonight and today, and anytime you listen, actually, you can podcast it. You can listen on demand at outinthebay.org or .com. I'm Marilyn Pittman. I saw an Elvis show in Las Vegas once, Connie, where he referenced his death like you did there. He was being Elvis, talking about how I'm already gone.
Wow.
And it really was... I thought
and
of that today when I was
obviously still alive, and he.
No, actually, this is when Elvis was dead as well.
Oh, it was a person who was
so it was portraying Elvis. Oh, I'm sorry, a tribute show.
Yeah, a tribute to Elvis,
and you're doing the same thing here, and it's just a fun device. It's because you know instead of you don't take yourself too seriously here. You know, you bring a little bit of that punk rock sensibility to what you do.
Most definitely, and irreverence, and Judy Garland was nothing if not irreverent, for sure. And you know, Marilyn, it's a funny thing. I don't know if you've seen that astrological book of days, but my birthday is November the 23rd, and I share a birthday with Harpo Marx and a few other, Miley Cyrus of all people, and it is actually the day of irreverence. It's the most punk rock day you could be born on, apparently. So I really connect that with her.
Well, you brought that to your music. I mean, you've been Judy Garland singing Joni Mitchell, Judy Garland singing, we're going to hear a little bit later in the program, Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody. You started something that has been copied by other artists, including Justin Bond or Justin Vivian Bond now, or
right.
Mix Bond now.
Right.
But that's something when I first saw it, I didn't know that that had come from you, but it really did, huh?
Back in the day, yeah. Scrumbly Coldwin and I, he was a former Cockette and so forth. We used to perform at the Paradise Lounge, and we would take all kinds of songs. Tin Pan Alley, the usual. Lerner and Lowe, those kinds of songs. But we put them right up against a Lou Reed or David Bowie song and do them in earnest. One of the things that I love about what Kiki and Herb do, what Justin does, is that he took that idea, certainly, but he took it in an even more extreme way. And I mean, if you're going to be inspired, if someone's going to be inspired by something you do and they make it as great as Justin did, it's nothing but a compliment. Mm-hmm. I mean, I adore him. Plus, he is one of the best rock contours of anyone. And that is an art. You know, which Judy Garland certainly was a fabulous raconteur too, as well.
She worked. I think of Judy Garland and Joan Rivers. I think of them as like the breadwinners in their family.
Oh yeah.
You know, well, I got to go to work. Better go to work now. They were always. I got to go take care of my family. Got to go to work. And they were the providers.
And there's a beautiful line in one of the songs that we're doing, in the show on Sunday, July 28th. One of the songs we're doing is "If Love Were All." And I wanted to make the line into a T-shirt. I love the line so much as, but since my life began, the most I've had is just a talent to amuse. And it's poignant, and I think she did feel that way, that she definitely had the talent to amuse.
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, now everything's on YouTube, so... You could just go watch her. I mean, there's a video with her.
She's
an Ethel Merman. That one really.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Because I'm an Ethel Merman fan, and because I got to meet her when I was 8 years old.
Ethel Merman, you did?
Backstage in Rishon and during the musical Gypsy in St. Louis, Missouri, of all places.
Did she make eye contact with you?
Not only did she make eye contact, she signed. I still have the autographed picture in my office, and she wrote in our autographed books, had him send a picture autographed, and just visited with us in her dressing. Robe in her dressing room, me and my mom and my sister there years ago, of course.
Fantastic.
And so I think it really affected my life. I think that's partly why I became a performer, that I was just, I think I, for a couple of years I thought I was Ethel Merman. You know, I was like, oh, mom, you know. Just...
Well, I think we all kind of do that. And, you know, of course, you know, Mark Sargent, who celebrates Ethel Merman and the Ethel Merman experience, does a pretty hardcore rock and roll. He's often a guest in our Judy Garland shows. I'm not certain if he'll be a guest in this one on the 28th. We'll see. But I definitely love working with Mark.
Well, let's go back to this. You're talking as her. What's the process like for you to have learned how to talk as her and sing as her? What's that
well,
like?
Well, Alan Sawyer, who's my collaborator, he and I and Joe Wicht, also known in his drag persona as Trauma Flintstone, I was cast in Christmas with the Crawfords as Judy. And apart from having the same shoe size, I didn't really feel like I had terribly much in common. I certainly didn't grow up on the MGM lot, and I wasn't, you know, married five times or what, you know. I just didn't see the similarities. But Alan said, you know, we're going to approach this as the way you would, like a Charles Ludlam character, for example, who created a theater of the ridiculous, where he believed in that whether we're doing drag persona, whether we're, you know, men playing men playing women playing women, so forth. In other words, gender blind casting, regardless of what we're playing, when we put that makeup on and that costume on, that's going to free us up to connect.
I think that's why also you're so accepted and loved in the gay community here in San Francisco and elsewhere as well. I mean, it's a gay radio right from San Francisco. You're not gay, but you identify with the gay community.
I was raised, you know, raised by wolves for sure. I mean, you know, my mom and her partner lived, albeit a closeted life, and that, but that was the days, you know, in the 60s and 70s and so forth. And there were a great many, of course, gay men around. And my mother, I remember when I was first moving to San Francisco, she said, you know, I really think you should try the cabaret circuit because I really think they would like you, without ever spelling it out. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, what do I say fag hag on my, you know, tattooed on my forehead? No. You know, what she meant was you are, you know, like a gay man trapped in a woman's body. That's what she, and now, of course, we call them faux queens. Now there's, of course, you know, an elaborate term that someone came up with, you know. I really enjoyed playing the character Judy Garland, and not just, you know, I never thought of it as doing an imitation, because I think, you know, there's certainly better imitators. When I think of an impersonator, I think of somebody like Rich Little. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of your fans are too young even to know who he was, but
An impressionist.
And that's not really what I was about. I was more like, what is it about this character from the outside that informs what's going on in the inside? And so, of course, I did a lot of research on her, too. And, you know, not just film. And now we can access it on YouTube. Anybody can, you know.
Right.
Reams of film on her. But there's also so many books that have been written. In fact, one written by a kooky guy named, I believe his name is John Meyer, and the book is called Heartbreaker, and he wrote two songs for her. One is a Christmas song that we do at Christmas time that Alan Sawyer calls the Slit Your Wrists Christmas song, called After the Holidays. I think Donna Sachet does this number as well. And he wrote another tune that maybe we'll be playing a little bit later on in the show, called I'd Like to Hate Myself in the Morning.
I'd like to get to that next, but it's really fun to hear you talk about playing her, not as an imitating her, not as an impression, but almost just being her. You must feel when you're on stage as Judy Garland, you just... it just comes to you naturally. It's just something you've got that is
well,
you.
Well, I don't know, Marilyn. I mean, I actually, physically, for example, she's left-handed, I'm not, which is one of those things that, you know, I know it sounds real actor man, or, you know, kind of maybe a little bit pretentious to folks that don't study a lot of acting, but the physicality informs how choices you're going to make about that character.
So what do you do to get to that? Yeah, tell us about it.
She stands back. She stands away from the audience. She makes the audience come to her.
Huh.
Whereas I would, as me, maybe lean in a little more to the audience, you know? She definitely went to the MGM charm school, where they learn to sit and cross their legs in a certain way. And all of that is somewhat repressive. It's a body language of a different era, and that's the era that she was raised in. Same way that she speaks. They call that mid-Atlantic. They used to teach it in drama school. They don't anymore. Now everybody sounds like we're from California, practically.
Nebraska.
But minus the dudeisms, you know?
Right.
Right. But I just did a lot of just subtle, looking at subtle ways that she moved and talked and word choices that she made, and thought about, well, why does she talk like that? Why does she move like that? And of course, not being her, and I have to use my imagination too, right? When you approach any character in a play, most characters in a play are not a famous person. So you fill it in with your imagination. But personally, I think a person is a fool if they're playing FDR, for example, the President Roosevelt, and they don't use which Bill Murray obviously used newsreel footage of President Roosevelt to inform his character, but he's not doing an impersonation.
I understand. It's acting. And you're a master actor, so you're not just a master singer. You're also, you know, a good actor.
I certainly try.
And so you bring all of that. That's what's so extraordinary. It's what makes it so successful and so fun to watch you perform, because you bring all of that stage presence and stage training in the acting work into the singing performance.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. And why we, those of you who have been living under a rock or are un-gay, the reason we talk about Judy Garland so much in the gay community, it's her death and the queens who were mourning her in the Stonewall Inn and the bar in New York in 1969 that helped start and kick off and ignite, really, literally, the gay rights movement. And so Judy Garland, for years, people would say, well, you're friends of Dorothy, and that was code for you're gay.
Right. Now, and subsequently to that, I don't know if you've read the Stonewall book. Some people will dispute that and say, but I do think
I say supposedly, because I know there's a lot of discussion about it.
Sure. I think that when many things happen at once, what you might call a perfect storm, mm-hmm. Judy Garland's death.
Or a tipping point.
Mm-hmm. Sure. There were a lot of people who waited in line in Campbell's funeral home in June, which, as you probably know, in Manhattan is very, very hot and humid, and several of them returned back to the bars, and that was the night that the police decided that they were going to raid it. Was it that one single event that triggered the Stonewall riots? No, I think it was part of a perfect storm of many things that happened that day. But you can't divorce that, I think, from pop culture history, because it happened.
Let's listen to I'd Like to Hate Myself in the Morning, the song you were just talking about. This is from your Christmas record. It's not a Christmas song, but it's on there. And this is a song you'll be doing on July 28th at the Boxcar Theater in your show Behind the Wig.
Indeed.
Connie Champagne is my guest here on Out in the Bay.
Myself in the morning and raise a little hell tonight. I've got the urge to carouse and maybe raise a few brows, cut loose and pull the stops out. Who cares if they call the cops out? I'd like to wake at noon feeling and know somehow something isn't quite right. I'd like to hate myself more, but what a dandy time I'll have tonight. I'd like to hate myself in the morning. Who cares if they call the cops out? I'd like to wake at 3 feeling guilty, wouldn't you? And know somehow something isn't quite right. I'd like to hate myself more and wonder what I missed and wonder who I kissed.
Ha ha ha. I'd Like to Hate Myself in the Morning. That's Connie Champagne singing the music of Judy Garland from her Judy Garland Christmas record, ConnieChampagne.com. She's right now in Hedwig and the Angry Inch. That's at the Boxcar Theater through August 10th. And she's also going to do a special night called Behind the Wig July 28th at the Boxcar. That's a fundraiser for them. You can go to BoxcarTheater.org to find out more about that. The musicians on there, who was that?
That was Dave Dabrowski, who will not be joining me for this one. For our show, we'll have Tom Shaw on piano, and we'll have Paul Eastburn on bass, and also on drums, the phenomenal, who is playing on that track. He's 18 years old, Alex Zotac. I've been playing with... doesn't sound good if I say I've been playing with him. I've been playing music with him since he was 15. He was introduced to me from Bill English. He was playing drums for Cabaret. And his parents are great. They're his roadies. They show up at all our shows. And I think we'll also be having Jake Padilla, who's been the guitarist for Hedwig, does an incredible job. He's been on hiatus from Hedwig for a while, but he's hoping to come back and join us for that show. And also from Hedwig, I'll also have Teresa Attridge, who is our swing and also plays Yitzhak. And she'll be joining me to sing some songs, too. So if people haven't seen Hedwig, we are going to close on my last performance will be August 9th with them. It's a fantastic show. And one of the things I like about Boxcar Theater, what I want to say is it really is an underground theater. It's a return to what theaters were like before the dot-com era, when it was possible to, hey, let's put on a show in a storefront, you know, a company that gets together one of the most phenomenal casts I've ever worked with and crew, a great rock band that backs us up. And so when I was approached to do a cabaret there for the company, for Boxcar Playhouse, Boxcar Theater, I said, absolutely, I'm in. And I will be doing some Hedwig songs a la Judy in the show
as Judy.
Well. Yes.
I think that's, again, what's been so fun about your approach to playing Judy Garland is it's non-traditional. You bring in other music and... Well, I want to, before we go, I want to play a little bit of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Which we will be doing in the show.
I really want to hear this. This is Connie Champagne here on Out in the Bay.
On September 5th, 1946, Farouk Bosara was born in Zanzibar. And he grew up to be quite a musician. And this is one of his, very best loved numbers. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. Just a poor boy, I need no sympathy. I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Anyway, the wind blows doesn't really matter to me. Trigger, now he's dead. Mama, life had just begun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Mama, ooh, didn't mean to make you cry. If I'm not back again this time,
It's not an easy song to fade down. That's Connie Champagne here on Out in the Bay. It's not an easy song because it's such a slow build, but we're almost out of time, and I want to make sure we play Somewhere Over the Rainbow going out before the credits. I want to thank you for being here. This show that Connie's doing, it's on July 28th. That's a Sunday. It's called Behind the Wig. It's an evening with Connie as Judy Garland, a rare opportunity. You can go to boxcartheater.org for tickets and to find out more. Boxcartheater.org. You can also go to ConnieChampagne.com. Connie, it's always a pleasure to have you on the radio show.
Thank you so much. I hope people will come on out to the Boxcar. Show starts at 7 o'clock. We're located on Natoma Street between 6th and 7th. Plenty of parking. Easy to get to. Please come and join us.
Thanks again. Here she is with the signature song.
Way up high, there's a land that I heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, skies are blue and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Someday I'll wish upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you
been listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. That's Connie Champagne singing Judy Garland. Make sure and see her show July 28th here in San Francisco at the Boxcar Theater, boxcartheater.org. Our show streams and is on the air every Thursday at 7 p.m. and then we archive our shows for podcasting and on-demand listening. Go to outinthebay.org or outinthebay.com. And you can get us on your phone. Just go to our website and download the Stitcher app. And then follow us on Twitter, please, at Out in the Bay. What else? You can also check out our Playing Favorites page where we put up a dozen of our best shows over these years. Ang Lee, Sylvester, John Waters, many more. Listen to the podcast on your way to work, and then make a tax-deductible contribution. It's how we keep the show going, thanks to you. And thanks to this. Out in the Bay is supported in part by the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, providing legal referrals in over 100 areas of the law, including those most relevant to the LGBT community. Information online at sfbar.org/LRIS or by phone. That's sfbar.org/LRIS or 989-1616 here in the city. Eric Jansen's email is eric@outinthebay.com. Mine's marilyn@outinthebay.com. Write us. We'd love to hear from you. Say something nice or suggest somebody. Suggest a topic, a guest. Try to be nice, though. Don't yelp at us, all right? Kevin Vance is our engineer. Out in the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me. Thank you.